Hello and welcome to Conversation Street, episode 287. I'm Gemma.
I'm Michael.
You're annoying the hell out of me. This is the episode, we're talking about the episodes.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Talking about the episodes that were broadcast between the 25th and the 29th of December 2017.
Christmas, isn't it? Do you have a nice Christmas, no. Gemma? Yes,
Merry
Gemma had
Christmas.
A lovely Christmas.
Apparently, according to the notes, I must say Merry Christmas, snow, end of year show in the next few days.
You're annoying
your
me. Stop just reading out the notes. That's not very.
We've already done. We already did one intro, and you've ruined it.
This is the second time of recording an
intro I've ever done.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Don't say happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you all had a good Christmas. We had a nice Christmas. Oh. We were been at my dad's for a week, haven't we?
Yep.
Been up in the frozen north of Coventry where we got snow. Not on Christmas Day, sadly. When did it snow? Was it Boxing Day? Night of Boxing Day?
Probably.
Think so. And that was the first time that we've had snow, that we've been in snow for years. That was quite a nice little experience, wasn't it?
Yes.
Nice little Christmas experience. But if you're Canadian, you're completely sick of snow by this point. But it's nice for us. As Gemma mentioned earlier, we have got our end of year awards show coming up in a few days. Send your predictions in, because we also do our predictions in that episode as well
demand.
For 2018. Thank you if you already have done on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And don't read spoilers and send them in disguised as predictions, because that's naughty. But yeah, thank you.
We'll find where you live and we'll kill you in your bed.
Gemma's in a really good mood tonight, aren't you? You got the full of
the
Christmas spirit.
I was fine before you ruined my first introduction. I was really looking forward to this podcast and you've ruined everything.
No, I haven't.
It's going to be the worst podcast
I've
ever done.
No, it's not. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, anyway, thank you to everyone who voted in the awards, all the people that did. And yeah, we know who won, but we're not going to tell you yet. You have to wait for a few days until you do.
Cat won.
Hmm?
What?
The Corrie cat won.
History. 50 years since the Rovers lost to the Flying Horse in a Christmas Day tug of war. Did you know that if you use the wrong rope, you can pull people's arms right off?
That would have been
final
good
appearance of Steve Tanner and Ivan Chevesky in a horrible tug of war accident. Don't laugh. 30 years ago since Hilda's last episode where she fell into one of those wood chippers.
Stop it.
Like in Fargo. They based that film on her death.
The demise of Hilda Ogden.
15 years since Kate Ford's first appearance as Tracy after the horrible death of the actress that played her previously. Also in a wood chipper. She slept with Dev and everybody wept. 10 years since John Stape gave his wife tiny knickers, thus reminding her she is not a size 8. It was tragic and horrible. 5 years since Nick slept with Kylie after calling off his wedding to Leanne. That was my favourite episode ever.
Anything else?
30 years ago, Ian de Caestecker, the first Adam Barlow, was born to great jubilation across the world.
Brilliant. That's quite good, actually. Should we move on and talk about street talk?
Let us discuss the happenings on the street. Street talk time!
Back to normal now.
I can't keep that up, as you all know. I am relentlessly
happy
cheerful.
And positive all of the time.
Yep.
That was strange to hear you.
It was very difficult for me to be negative for a minute.
Well, let's see what we think about this week's Coronation Street, which was Christmas week. I think that the episodes were all over the place, weren't they? But I think there were still six half an hour's worth in total. What do we have? An hour on Christmas Day, an hour on Boxing Day, half an hour on Wednesday and half an hour on Friday. Does that sound about right?
No, Friday, it wasn't Friday, it was Christmas, New Year's Eve.
Yes, New Year's Eve today on Sunday. In Weatherfield. They're celebrating it early, getting it in there. That's just to remind us that there was no Coronation Street on New Year's Eve. That was the
I'm
last
really
episode
annoyed.
Of the year.
I didn't like that.
We're not even going out on New Year's Eve this year, and the least we thought we could do is settle down in front of an episode of Corrie, but now we're just going to have to watch Jules Holland like the rest of...
No, I'm not watching that rubbish.
Right, we've got lots of stories to talk about this week. Well, a few anyway. We had the Wreck-It Rev story first, which a couple of extra storyline titles for that this week. Fall from Grace.
Yeah.
As our vicar took a bit of a tumble, didn't he? Fell off a cliff. Yeah, who could survive something
little,
like that?
Little known cliff edge there called Grace.
And
they don't very often name cliff edges.
This is also this is also the them having to cover over the fact that Bruno Langley had to make a hasty exit from the show, so it was also Todd Toddles off this week, and we'll see how we thought that went down in a minute.
I would have also accepted Toodaloo Todd.
Toodaloo Todd, yeah, that's a good one. Good one. Carla's come back, as we'll talk about next. Subtitle, this? Kid or Kidneys.
Nice.
Because we had a bit of a... Yeah, she wasn't drinking this week. Was she pregnant? No, she's got some horrible illness. Of course, because it's Coronation Street. Kate Oates is in charge. Hospital scenes are plenty.
Do you know what? I was just thinking, I'm so excited about all the hospital scenes that we're going to have. And I wish there were more people that were ill. And then when she said that she was pregnant, I was really sad because I don't really like baby storylines, but I love medical problems. And then from one minute there, I got really excited when I thought she was going to have cancer, but it turned out she's just got kidney failure.
Just kidney
Maybe
failure.
Maybe she's got kidney
She'll
cancer.
She'll be fine.
Can
She'll
you
be
have
fine.
That?
Oh, you can have cancer everywhere. We'll also talk about the Alia and Aidan stuff in there, because Carla was kind of linked into that as well.
Yep.
Bit of racism in there as well, Christmas racism this week. Tracy and Steve's storyline. The best title I could come up with that was Return to the Mac, which is a bit rubbish.
Do you know it's called Return of the Mac?
I do know it's Return of the Mac. I'm sure we had that storyline title
when,
when Liz came back. Pack 'em in the pen for story 4. Brian gets arrested in some Christmas farce. Then we had a bit of David and Shona stuff on Christmas Day, and a bit of Craig and Bethany as well. Bethanaig or Craigany. Still haven't decided for the
What's
the
David
ship
and
name
Shona's
for them,
ship name? I hate that.
Devona.
I hate the word
Shoniv.
Ship. Shipping.
Shoniveda.
As a long-term resident of a nautical city, I feel the word ship should only be reserved for actual ships. We already have a word for relationships, and it is relationships.
That's got ships in.
Why don't they say relations? That's what they're actually doing. Get having relations.
Bethany and Craig aren't having relations yet. She won't let him touch her. Right, before we get on with that, I thought it might be quite interesting to look over our Christmas cliches list that we did last week on the podcast and see how this
how
year
did it
fared.
Stack up?
Well, I don't think that it came out on top, but I think it probably did join with the other runners-up that we had last week. Because
we would have been there, wouldn't we?
Yeah, would. I counted 6 Christmas cliches this week. I can't count Carla's return, because that was last week. And I can't count the new romance of Tracy and Steve either, because that was also last week. But we did get this week... cliche number 1, violence, which is all that was one of the big ones. Happens every year. Brian punches Yobbo in the face, and also I expect that you could class some of that Billy and Pete stuff as violence too. There was Christmas dinner drama for the Barlows when Eileen came round and revealed all about Susan and Billy and all that stuff, plus David the dog ate David the human's birthday cake.
Now,
so
wouldn't
drama.
Have been funnier if it was the other way around.
What if David had eaten David dog food?
Think about it, writers.
Maybe next year.
Why don't you do a nice juxtaposition for, like, it's an inside joke for all us fans?
There were secrets revealed. Third Christmas cliche this week, as we said, about Susan to the Barlows. There was an arrest, Brian. There was end of episode music, a favourite.
Of us all.
Yeah, yeah. What did they even say? I can't remember what they were singing. But it started off with Rita noticing the jukebox was broken, and I think that was... The clue
Eva
for everyone that we were going to get Rita.
Little duet, didn't they?
She did, and I think it kind of showed Rita up a little bit. Do you think
Jeez
that Eva?
Louise. No, I think it showed that there are two different styles of singing.
Yes, let's call it that. Let's call
well,
it that.
Look.
What?
I didn't think so. I mean, you could if you're going to be prickly about it, you could have said, "Ooh, just shows how Eva's style is too show-offy and."
Okay, well...
Do you remember that scene in The Osbournes when...
yeah, Kelly Osbourne
Kelly is
makes
taking the mick out of
Christina Aguilera.
Mary, Creole,
I thought that Eva did a jolly good job. And then, there was montage stuff.
I think Rita did a jolly good job.
She was fine.
And they both did a jolly good job.
Final Christmas cliche, which is one that we said last week, that they usually... Yeah, they usually shy away from it. Christmas stunts. We'd only had fires in the past, stunt-wise, but this was a proper green screen and everything stunt of Billy falling off a cliff. So, not bad. 6 Christmas cliches. I reckon. Try harder next year, Corey.
I want a vicar falling off a cliff to become a regular Christmas Corey cliche.
You never know. Right, so talking of vicars falling off a cliff, let's start off with that one then.
Right, everybody, do you remember that Todd's gone?
Yes,
he took Summer with him, and they have not returned. Spoiler alert, they're still not back.
This week,
and everybody
was trying to...
keeps mentioning it.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying too hard to keep mentioning it, to try to not draw attention to it in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to address it.
Make it sound like
it's
supposed to be part
of
the story.
Over mentioning it.
Like, well, we'll see. Well, let's say what happened first.
All right.
And then we will go and talk
I'm
about how...
I'm not allowed to discuss it yet.
You're not allowed to
no
discuss
opinions.
It. We have an order
Shut up.
Of the way that we do
no
things,
opinions.
Darling. So, Eileen is worried on Monday, Christmas Day, because she's got no idea where Todd or Billy or Summer are. So, after a bit of present...
Christmas Day.
Yeah, a bit of present opening in the Barlows. Peter
Christmas
goes
Day.
To Billy.
Love
now,
Christmas
it's brilliant,
good, it?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Peter goes over to Billy, where, remember, he has got him locked up in the boot of streetcars, taxi somewhere, and he drives
near
him off
a
to a cliff edge. Cliff called Grace, exactly. And he's a bit threatened.
That sounds
underneath.
Like an album name.
Cliff called Grace, yeah. He tells Billy that he's going to let the handbrake off and let him roll over the edge, but it's a big old fake
Let me
out.
Just add this. Didn't he say to him earlier, not this episode, but the week before, that he was going to make him suffer and think and know he was going to die before it happened, just like Susan?
Yes.
So
yes.
This is why
this is him giving him his payback.
He's mentally torturing him with the thought of his impending doom.
Yeah, but he doesn't. It's a fake out. He pulls forward
but then
a bit.
He actually
and,
does.
Well, he lets
out
Billy out, but and says, "Right, you find your own way home." And he goes
and
to
then
drive
he accidentally
off.
Accidentally reverses into him.
Well, no, Billy just kind of slipped backwards.
And they
he?
Played the Yakety Sax music, which I thought was insensitive.
No, they didn't. Billy falls off a cliff and has a big slow motion fall over the edge.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Peter does try to help him.
And then Peter goes, me, me.
Anyway, so we all think
well,
that Billy's dead.
Peter, does he try? He tries to stop him.
He does,
him.
He grabs his hand.
Yeah, he tries to stop him, but then he goes.
He goes where?
He leaves.
He does. Well, he doesn't look over the cliff for the moment of impact, but then he looks over and sees Billy's there, kind of splayed out
he
on the rocks
like
below. And then he drives
he
off.
He goes away.
Back home again.
Before then.
Meanwhile, Eileen and Pat are off to church because they reckon if Billy's anywhere, then he's going to be there. But he's not there. Sophie was there, which is quite a nice little reminder. And they also find Granny Spellman there. And I rate Granny Spellman because she turned up...
I rate her too. 10 out of 10.
She turned up, apparently, to find Summer on Christmas Eve at our past whenever, but she didn't show up. So she's like, what's happened? And Eileen says, oh, it's fine, they've gone off somewhere for the first Christmas together, they've just gone on a little family holiday together. Well, Granny is not happy with this and vows to get Summer back because somebody related... How did she refer it?
One of those filthy Barlows.
No, she said somebody who's related to Todd's business partner said that Billy is a bad parent, not suitable parent for looking after Summer. So it was nice to see her back.
Yes.
So Peter is panicking and drives back to the street where he grabs his passport. He's going to do a runner. Ken sees him and stops him, and Peter has a bit of a cry and explains and confesses everything to Ken. He doesn't hold back. He says everything that's happened. So Ken goes over to this cliff face. It was a quarry, wasn't it?
Grace.
The Weatherfield Quarry.
Weatherfield Grace Quarry.
Yes. And he finds that something has broken Billy's fall. He survived this, I don't know how many foot drop. And I don't know whether they even said what made him, what broke his fall, but it doesn't matter.
It was a picnicking family.
Yeah,
they're
having a Christmas
dead.
Picnic.
It's a Christmas miracle.
He gets air ambulanced into hospital. So Eileen gets...
I think it was Jesus.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a little prayer as he was going down.
Eileen gets a phone call, rushes to the hospital with Liz to see Billy. He's got internal bleeding and he's going to be taken into theatre.
Oh, how's he going to go and see Hamilton?
Yeah, apparently he's got tickets. Eileen interrupts the Barlow's dinner and she says, look, I know somebody, one of you spoke to Geraldine. Who was it? And Peter's like, oh, it wasn't me.
Yeah, he's looking rather guilty, isn't he? I think Eileen notices that something's not right with Peter, but
now,
Ken says, look, no, you've got to go, Eileen. You're interrupting our Christmas dinner.
Now begins one of my favourite plot twists of all time. Ken becomes the Mafia Don of the Barlow clan and tells Peter to tell Tracy and Adam what's going on, all about Susan, all about the fact that Billy did it, all about the fact that Peter then tried to kill Billy and they've all got to keep quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this family secret thing. I really like that what happened earlier in the year with the Who Pushed Ken stuff and that being a secret.
Ken, I really, well, one really of the things like, that Kate Oates wanted to do when she came back in is to build the Barlow family back together again, and this kind of it harkens back to
and
that,
I love
it?
The fact that they're not sort of brought together by any, you know, great, you know, affection or
no.
mutual love. It's just like they've all got a dirty secret and it involves a murder and an attempted murder and
exactly.
locking people in a boot.
So Adam isn't quite so keen to keep this secret, is he? He wants to find Billy and kill him, so Peter has to talk him out of it.
I think Peter should have said, look, I've tried. He's literally indestructible. I don't think you can kill him.
Anyway, so they all go out for a drink in the pub later as a united front. Peter says that he can't. He has to go to an AA meeting. I don't think he does. We later see him just looking worried on the stairs during the Christmas montage.
I don't really know why he said that.
I think
He's been saying I'm going to an AA meeting quite a lot recently.
Yeah, he did go to one last week,
didn't he? And not going to one.
Yeah.
If you can hear,
it's a good excuse.
If you can hear ice, it's my gin and tonic.
Yeah. Eileen is with Billy in hospital as well at the end of the episode, texting Todd in vain. So Tuesday, Boxing Day, there is...
He's run out of texts. He's going to wait till the end of the month.
He's still no reply from Todd on Tuesday. Eileen's there in the hospital when Billy is brought round and he's like, oh, no, Todd, where's Todd? But she changes the subject quickly, goes off for a coffee, and then Ken pops up like Tony Soprano, like he said, does the whole, she was my child thing, you killed her, and she didn't deserve that. And says,
he didn't say it like, he's like, you are a monster. You killed my daughter. I think about her all the time. I never mention it because it's a drag.
Yeah, he'd probably forgotten that he had a daughter up until this was brought up again.
You killed my daughter, Susie. Susan.
Suzanne.
Suzanne.
So he says, right, you owe me a favour and I'm going to call in the debt right now. Elsewhere, Peter was busy as himself doing an attic conversion in the Rovers, and Toya comes back. She's been at Janice's over Christmas with Leanne, and she notices that Peter is acting a bit strange.
I thought it was weird that they put in that Peter is doing an attic conversion.
I think that they might have mentioned it before, because they've got everybody living there now, haven't they?
That's my point. Everybody's moved into the Rovers, but I thought every house on the street is a TARDIS, and literally the amount of people that you want to fit in there will go.
Yeah, and the fact is that the Rovers is probably the biggest building in the street, but still not big enough to contain all this lot.
And also, I don't think you can really convert an attic quickly enough.
Well, I'm quite surprised that you can do it at all.
I'm going to dob them into the council, because you need planning permission to turn an attic into a bedroom.
Do it.
I will.
Okay, do it in the new year.
I'll do it now. Where's the phone?
Don't do it. We're doing a podcast.
What's
do it later.
What number is by the phone?
Rosie tells Adam that Todd left a letter to her to pass on to Billy. And she says...
I'm making a phone call. Could you please be quiet?
Shut up. He says that he's going to take it for her because he doesn't want her going to see Billy. But after he reads it, and it was just a note from Todd saying, oh, Geraldine's after us, we need to get away until this all dies down, and so on, he burns it. So... Ken has told all of his family.
I don't know why he did that. Why do you think he did that?
Why did he burn the letter?
Mm.
Well, he just doesn't want to... He wants it to remain a mystery, I guess. That explains kind of where Todd is. But, yeah, he doesn't want them to know. I don't know, really. But anyway, yeah, Ken's told all the family that everyone's got to keep quiet about Billy's involvement in Susan's death. Because if that all comes out, then Billy's going to tell them... He'll tell everybody that Peter kidnapped him and he doesn't want Peter going to jail for that.
It's a blackmail face-off.
Mutually assured arrest. Adam is not happy to remain silent. So he starts down in whiskey, taking a load of pills as a bit of a suicide attempt.
I like it when that happens at Christmas.
Yeah, I love it. So festive. Eileen's talking with Billy, trying to get out of him where Todd is, but he goes unconscious again. Again, a little bit more drama.
They have to go and take him back to...
To theatre again.
Yeah, because they said, look, he did fall off a cliff. It's not just one operation.
Yeah, you need two operations if you've fallen off a cliff to make you completely better.
If you know anyone's got a spare kidney, he probably needs one.
Daniel goes and finds Adam's unconscious body on the flat floor, makes him sick at the pill, so that's fine. Ken and Peter come round and Ken says he's going to look after Adam if he likes it or not. So when Adam wakes up again later, he starts opening up to Ken about how sad he is. He was so depressed when Susan died. Christmas has been terrible since then.
I've never enjoyed Christmas since.
Yeah, he says he feels guilty for not stopping Susan from going on the road that day. And Ken says, look, I can't make you not go to the police. Can't stop you from going to the police, but you know you'd be condemning Peter to jail if you did.
So don't do it.
Yeah. So after having a bit of a chat with Peter about when he had to tell Susan that Ken was dead.
No, that's what Ken Peter was Susan.
Tells Ken that Susan was dead. Peter had to tell Ken that Susan was dead. Adam goes to the hospital to see Billy. Now he denies knowing anything about where Todd is. He also at this point doesn't let Billy know that he knows anything about it, does he? He just goes on along as a concerned friend.
So, at the moment, Billy knows that Ken and Peter know that he killed Susan.
Yes.
Even though he didn't kill Susan.
Yes. But he doesn't know that everybody else knows.
Shorthand, for podcast reasons, we're going to call it Billy killed Susan.
Yes, just like who killed Ken earlier this year.
He's doing well, isn't he? he doesn't know that, so Adam's not revealing his hand.
Mm-hmm. We also had that bit, that episode. Toya is getting a bit worried about Peter not acting himself, and she is worried that with Carla back on the scene, Peter is
going to have
his eye turned. Exactly.
What? Okay, right. Now Wednesday. We've finished.
No, we've still got loads left of the storyline.
Damn it. I wanted to talk about Toya and Peter.
We will talk about Toya and Peter later. Wednesday. We'll do it quick. There's not as much happened on the next few days. Eileen and Billy are being told it's going to be a long road to recovery. Yeah, like you said, he may never walk again. They also have a bit more of a worry about Todd. Ken goes to see Adam at work and he's surprised that he's back so soon. Adam basically just tells him to bog off. Toya also has a bit of a chat with Angie on Wednesday just to say how worried she is. Not much happens there. Then at the end of the episode, for some reason, Ken goes back to hospital again just to reconfirm that this agreement between him and Billy is still on.
What we said before, real, that's still going.
Yeah.
Also, Adam's really sad.
He tells him about the overdose.
Tried to kill himself.
Apart from that seems a bit pointless.
So that's new information.
And then Adam goes to Susan's grave.
Do you want a coffee? I'm not getting you one.
Adam goes to Susan's grave at the end of the episode and says, I'm going to get you justice, Mum.
Have a Rory flower.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Rory special flower he leaves on her grave. Friday, we had a bit more Geraldine. She turns up at the Rovers to speak to Peter about this phone call that he made to her last week. And he says, no, it's fine. Just overreacted. Billy and Todd are great parents. Don't worry about it. But he ends up saying that Todd's gone missing. He kind of lets her know what's been going on there. So she's petrified now about what's happened to Summer because nobody knows where she is, and she vows to get to the bottom of it.
Well, it does seem bloody fishy.
It does a little bit.
So no, not even slightly.
A lot fishy. Her
people are like going, watch out, your granddaughter's in danger. And then she turns up, they're like, she's not here. Where is she? Don't worry about it, it's fine. It's completely fine. Just go away.
Well, she goes along to the hospital to talk to Billy, but Adam's there. I think he was going to have it out with Peter, with Billy or something, but Eva shows up with her glossy magazines and puts a dampener on it. So Adam's
talking about Rihanna's hot pants.
Yeah, exactly. Adam's main job at the hospital is to turn away. Geraldine says, look, don't worry about it. I'm on the case with getting Summer back. So she goes away.
He wants to totally
placated.
Ruin Billy's life by robbing him of Todd and Summer.
Yes.
So, as we know, Todd is not coming back. So do you think that Adam is then going to do some kind of sneaky manipulation to prevent Todd from coming back but getting Summer back? Do you think that Adam's going to be behind?
I'm not sure. I still haven't quite worked out why Todd's not going to come back yet, what the reason is going to be. Because I thought they actually did not too bad a job of covering up his hasty departure. I was expecting it to be a lot more clunky than it was. What did you think?
I mean, they did do a good job because I can't work out what the story should have been.
No, apparently there was an awful lot of rewriting that went on the Christmas Day episode, but you couldn't really tell that much because it seems like a natural twist to the drama that suddenly one of the characters mysteriously disappears. So they're kind of lucky that with what they'd filmed, I suppose.
I wasn't bowled over by the Christmas episode. It wasn't terrible. I didn't think it was brilliant.
No.
Right? So I think that means that they've done an excellent job considering how much they had to rewrite and how much of the storyline involved a character that's no longer present on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that Todd...
I take my hat off to them. I don't know. They obviously did an incredible job. It's a shame that it wasn't, you know, a stonking episode.
Yeah.
But it wasn't awful. It was a pretty good episode.
It wasn't awful.
If that was an average episode, I would be giving that really high marks, but I always expect a bit more at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of expecting it to be a bit of a hash job, didn't we? But... It fitted in quite seamlessly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the whole week, I don't think it was too bad. I mean, the questions
that
I'm...
that it was wrong.
No.
It was rewritten.
No. I mean, the questions that really I'm left with is, why isn't Todd replying to Eileen's texts? That's the bit that doesn't sit right with me, because he must have been receiving her messages, which would have also not just said, where are you, but it would have also said, Billy, your boyfriend has just fallen off a cliff. Maybe you should bring him some grapes or something. I don't know why Todd would not even reply to that. I mean, I suppose they're going to say... I think he's not going to come back because he told Billy...
It's what I said.
Yeah, I think they're going to say... He told Billy, don't you confess. If you tell
That's
people...
That's what I said.
Yeah, if you tell people what happened with Susan...
It's over.
And I don't think that's exactly what he was saying last week, but I think that's what they're going to run with.
Yeah.
I think it's very much a suspension of disbelief that he wouldn't come and see him in hospital, but I think that they've actually done, not too bad a job with it. Sue Cleaver's been great this week.
I wonder if they should have...
Morning, Hermit and
Son. Oh, no. I wonder if they should have had something in there with Billy going, oh, it's my fault, Billy... It's my fault Todd's not coming back. I've done something terrible and he'll never forgive me. Because when he woke up, he seemed to forget that... I mean, if I had been Billy and Todd had disappeared, my thoughts would immediately have gone to, I've screwed up. He's not coming back because of what I did.
Mm.
And he did tell me that and he's taken summer.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just kind of...
It's fine, though.
They're glossing over it a bit, but they had to do a lot of patchwork stuff with the scripts this week, and
all in all,
yeah,
I would say
pretty good job.
90% hit rate there,
but
really good job.
I am wondering how long Summer's going to be away for. I do feel sorry for Summer at the moment. I mean, what's she going through?
Look,
and why do you think that Todd's like taking her mobile phone? Because she had her phone with her, didn't she, when Todd whisked her away?
Yes.
So he
taking it off her. I tell you what, though. It's good. It's really good because I'm thinking, what's going on with Todd? What's happening with Todd? Something awful must have happened. Why is he not responding? Why is he do it like it's intriguing?
Mm.
If they manage to think of a good reason and make it plausible, like something, you know, that will be the end test of how good they've done with rewriting this story.
Yeah. I was wondering whether they were going to have something very much like Susan and Adam and have them involved in a car crash, and then it could have been
that.
A bit like...
Did you not listen
when?
To when? Last week.
Did you? I didn't
Maybe
hear that.
Maybe I just thought it.
Actually, I just don't remember you saying that. And that would be like history
poetic
repeating
justice.
Itself. Poetic justice, exactly. Somebody runs away with their child, let's call them, so that another family member can't get their hands on them. And yeah, ends up in a horrible crash, but that couldn't have happened, otherwise we'd have heard from
cliche.
It. I mean, I'm guessing that Todd's just taken her to London. He really should have had, like, a Find My Phone thing set up on his phone, then. Eileen would have had to wonder. I was half expecting that by the end of this week's episodes, we would know where Todd was.
I don't mind not knowing. I'm hoping that the wait will be worth it and there'll be something intriguing and interesting and logical at the very least.
I wonder whether the people behind the scenes knew where Todd was going to be taking Summer off to when they wrote these episodes, or whether like the script writers were literally just told, nobody knows where he's gone, just write that he's gone and we'll solve that bit later. Because the issue that they had to get around was he disappears all of a sudden, and they probably had a couple of days maximum to figure that whole thing out. We'll see.
I would quite like it if Pat finds them and then kills Todd off screen. That could still happen.
It could still happen.
I just don't know how you would portray that.
There's going to have to
without
be...
Without yeah. being in it.
I know. Well, I don't think Todd is the kind of person who would never come back to Weatherfield. And I know that he went, 10 years or so not visiting Weatherfield when he was down in London. But he is too much a bit of a mummy's boy to never go back and visit his mum again.
So do we agree that we both want Todd to die?
I think it would make things easier if he did.
I think we need closure, don't we?
Yeah.
There's really no closure
if he's just gone again.
We need proper closure, we need a conclusive ending, we need something that's logical, and we need something that's not anticlimactic.
Mm. In some way, Summer has got to come back to the street, hasn't she? I mean, unless they're going to do like a reversal when she was taken away, like a shady car drives up to the street. We hear an old recording of Todd saying, "Get out, get out." And then Summer gets bundled off onto the pavement.
I wonder how much of the Geraldine stuff was recorded afterwards.
I know, so much of this week I've been thinking...
I'm really intrigued
how
by
much
it.
Of that was original script or this, slightly tweaked or completely rewritten.
It has been distracting me, to be honest. I think if I was none the wiser, I might have had a different impression.
Yeah, I would really, really like to know.
I would love to be a fly on the wall. I would love to.
I know. I'm glad that we had Geraldine back, because we were worried... last week that she was due to appear on Friday's episode, wasn't she? Or she was supposedly going to be meeting Summer, and then she didn't turn up. It was nice to see her again, coming into the Rovers as well.
I do like her.
I think she's a great character, and I'm glad. I'm sure we haven't seen the last of her. I mean,
she said when she left, "You haven't seen the last of me."
Yeah, yeah.
She should have done.
She's not going to be able to find out where Todd is, but maybe she'll be
Adam's
the one to
do it.
Yeah, I guess if Adam uses his detective skills to find out, and then maybe Geraldine will go and take her back. But in some way, I mean, Summer is not going to go off and live with Geraldine, is she? She's going to be back with Billy at some point.
How mad do you think Adam is at Todd? Because why would... He's obviously decided he's going to take Summer off of Billy.
Yeah.
To give to Granny Spellman.
Yeah.
But that's going to hurt Todd. And he doesn't know whether Todd knows anything about this yet. So really,
I think that he does know.
Why? How?
I can't remember. I'm sure there was something this week that meant that... Well, yeah, from the letter from Todd that Rosie gave him,
You're
I'm
right.
sure it might refer to it in there. So he knows that Todd was behind, or was in the know
so
as well.
So he's mad at him too.
Him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so mad at you.
Yeah, and we also we saw Adam... phoning up somebody to get some cover for Todd at the lawyer's office as well, didn't we? So they're going to have this hastily drafted in replacement, but I do imagine that Imran's going to come
gonna
in
Imran,
and fill in her, yeah. Shall we talk The Fall?
Loved
we left it long enough. That was... I didn't know it was happening, and I... that there have been things that have been happening that I knew were going to happen this week, but I didn't see The Fall coming, so in a way... I'm quite pleased that they were able to hide that from me. I don't know whether it was out there in the public. Yeah. Don't tell Michael. I don't know whether it was out there in the public knowledge that was going to happen.
Yep.
So when he actually went over the edge, I and a lot of viewers as well were like, "Oh my gosh, what the heck? Who killed off Billy?"
Yeah, I
but then that was clashing in my mind with having seen paparazzi pictures in the press of Daniel Brocklebank filming out. So I thought, how... It just didn't make sense, and it was a bit silly, wasn't it? The fact that he survived that fall. I don't know.
I saw a video on the internet of a sheep falling down a cliff, and it was fine.
I don't think that Billy is a sheep.
Was he wearing padding?
He wasn't. He was just... He'd been... I mean, I can't think of any reason that...
Okay.
He could have... I mean, and even if he did survive, he seemed... He didn't seem like cut or bruised up or anything, did he, in the hospital? I mean, he should have been literally at death's door. And there was the scene later on in the episode on Christmas Day where he was there on the operating table, and they were like, quick, cut him open. Blah, blah, blah. But on the whole, he's seemed miraculously fine. And they'll do the, he'll never walk again. And you know, maybe he'll get a wheelchair for a bit or crutches or something. But he's going to be skipping around in the 6 months' time, I'm sure. What do you think? Do you think this is going to be... I mean, I suppose if they, like, permanently disable him as a reminder of what he did.
That sounds like a mafia thing.
Well, I mean, this is what the Barlows...
Ken will be able to approve.
Yeah, I mean, would the Barlows leave him alone if they think that he's paid for his crimes?
No.
Because Adam's not going to let go of this. But I don't know how it's going to be kept a secret from everybody. Do you think it's going to come out eventually? This big Barlow secret? Yeah. Because no secrets are ever kept on the street. And it could be... There's lots of people that could find out about it. Eileen could find out. Pat could find out about it. Toya could find out about it because she's really worried about Peter. And one of these days, she's going to confront him about, are you acting like this because Carla's back? And maybe he would let her know. I don't know, but I'm sure that people are going to know that Billy was involved in Susan's death at some point. And then I don't know how he can stay on the street.
I tell you what.
What?
If there isn't a story in the Weatherfield Gazette about Vickers Christmas Day miracle fall.
Yeah.
Then Daniel's not doing his job right.
Yeah, he's too distracted. But
is that not the perfect Christmas Day slow news headline?
Yeah.
Vicar miraculously survives how 50-foot cliff drop on Christmas Day, thus proving the existence of Jesus.
I think if there was a news article about it, they'd probably have to look into it a little bit more carefully than Coronation Street wants us to look into it.
Quote from the vicar, it's all my fault, it's all my fault, she's dead, oh God, oh God.
What did you want to say about Toya earlier, as we were brought round to talking about her?
What's going to happen?
I was a bit sad that she wasn't around for the Christmas Day dinner at the bar.
I know, I was really looking forward to seeing this up in my mind, that there was going to be a comedy, bitchy Barlow Christmas Day dinner.
There wasn't any of that, it was all very serious.
No, they completely ruined it.
No, it was literally just Barlow's, wasn't it? That Steve hadn't brought Tracy hadn't brought Steve along. Tabitha didn't have Toya. Daniel's lonely singleton at the moment anyway, but I suppose it makes sense because I don't think that because it is like we are the Barlows, we're not going to keep this. We're not going to let anybody know what's happened here. And I think if anyone else was involved, like, I don't think Toya or Steve or anyone would be so keen to keep the secret.
I'm happy to swap the Barlow bash for the Barlow mafia.
Mm. I'm glad they've given Ken something more to do. We were worried after the Who Pushed Ken storyline finished that he hasn't had much to do in the last 6 months.
I absolutely love this.
He's been great again. He's even got the proper mafia voice, hasn't he, when he goes to see Billy.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, Toya confided in Angie. I wonder whether she could also confide in Roy, maybe, because Toya and Roy are supposed to be close, although we haven't seen much of that. But he's in on Carla's secret. I don't know. I like a good mystery. Peter's and people going, knowing things and other people not knowing things.
Peter's going to go after Carla now he knows. What, once it comes out, what's wrong with her?
What do you mean? He's going to go after her.
He's going to realise that the time is precious.
And he loves Carla.
He loves her more than anybody else.
Mm.
And blah, 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 blah. And then Toya's going to be left with a baby.
Or is she? Still, we're not sure about that one, are we? Yeah, I think it's like we said last week. Carla's comeback could definitely cause friction there.
I know we
Toya
don't
and Peter.
Like... We didn't like Toya and Peter to start with, and we prefer them not to be in charge of the Rovers. But who would Toya go out with if not Peter?
Bring back Spider.
I know.
Bring back Spider, they're perfect for each other.
Organic juice bar Spider.
Exactly. I don't know what else there is at the moment. I mean,
no one's good enough for her.
Zidane could be freed up soon.
Zidane could be freed up, but here is my question. How good is he at ironing ruffles?
Yeah,
he strikes me as a man
job.
That wouldn't know the first thing about what to do with a ruffle. She's got an extensive Victoriana collection.
Just keep it hanging up. Just hang it up as soon as you wash it.
When
it's
wet,
it's
love, hang it up on a hanger. Let it dry like that.
What about Adam's overdose?
That was a bit pointless.
It seemed there was a couple of things this week that were just put in there for no other reason than added Christmas drama. And that was just like the mid-episode break.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It served only to make us realise how sad he was, but that didn't wash with me because he's not mentioned it ever before.
No, I mean, he obviously is going to be upset and about his mum dying, and he does seem like the sort of person that would keep those feelings to himself, and it makes sense that they've all come sort of bubbled up to the surface in recent months, but I don't think that he would automatically turn to the pills and the booze and try and kill himself.
But then again, I've heard people say who tried to commit suicide and obviously did not succeed because my Ouija board's not very good, so only live people that I've heard from
this,
that sometimes when people commit suicide, it's an impulsive act that they didn't plan for at all.
Mm.
Like, I read a story about a woman, she jumped in front of a train, and she said she wasn't even thinking about it, but suddenly she saw it, and she just went for it.
Yeah, I mean, you
don't know. You honestly, how would you ever know? The people that have succeeded in killing themselves, how would you know how long they had been planning this for?
Mm.
And, I mean, we've never had anything that quite as traumatic. Nothing's come out of the blue on us.
No.
We've had horrible things happen, but nothing that we didn't see coming.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I suppose you're used to, on the soaps, seeing the pictures of, like, the booze bottle and then the neatly lined up tablets, and then you see the characters kind of agonising over it for a bit, and then they do a
bit. Brush their hands over the pills and say, no!
But I suppose, at least with Adam, he was there drinking, what was it, his whiskey or something? I don't know. And he did... I don't think the original plan was to kill himself with the tablets, but he went up there and he grabbed them off the top shelf, didn't he?
Tell you what it was. It was, he thought they were miracle fruit tablets,
mm-hmm.
which make sour things taste sweet, and he was drinking the whiskey going, this is bloody rough, this isn't the best stuff we've got, I think I'll eat a miracle berry and it would make everything taste delicious. And then he was like, sense. Oh no, I've accidentally almost topped myself, I hope Daniel comes and finds. Ugh.
But yeah, on the whole, I think they could have skipped that bit out, and we would have still been able to tell that Adam was sad without all that.
It would have been fine if they had just had the scene of him drinking and then passing out, and then Daniel finding him and making him be sick because he was... You can still die of alcohol poisoning. I think that would have made more sense. If he had, like, just drank so much that he was in danger of being ill, that would have flown with me much better.
Yeah, it just seemed like needless drama just for the sake of it. I mean, if a character is going to commit suicide, if a soap character, there needs to be a bit more feeling behind it.
Yeah,
and the viewers have got to be like, oh no, are they going to do it? It was very empty.
It was kind of disrespectful also to people who have suicide, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's suddenly out of nowhere, I'm just going to kill myself to make the story more dramatic.
Mm. Yeah, like,
such a serious subject, they shouldn't really trifle with it.
Back in the early 90s, I think it was, Ken committed suicide in the early 90s.
He
gave it a go in the early 90s, and that was a massive thing that happened, and this was just nothing.
And it's
really
also quite a triggering thing as well.
Mm.
And I've said before about Daniel hurting himself on the show, I don't think has been treated with the respect that it should be for something that impressionable people might see.
Yeah.
I just think that some things are so dark and mess with people's heads. I really think it messes with people's heads when you have suicide and self-harm things and they're not addressed correctly. Because really it was just like, oh, he tried to kill himself. Oh, well, I guess he's super sad. That we'll just say, don't do that.
And he's literally completely fine later on in the episode.
If you're so messed up that you actually take pills, and it really, if Daniel wasn't there, would he have actually died? We don't know. But not something that you brush your shoulders off and go, well, okay.
I mean, he does go to his mum's grave at the end of the episode, doesn't he? Or was it the next episode? I can't remember. And we get to see his anguish a bit more. And we see that he is completely and utterly intent on revenge.
But I would rather have just...
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
so I did quite enjoy the story. It was a little bit dark for Christmas, I have to say. But Barlow's secret, I'm loving. I love it when families band together rather than squabble.
Don't say too dark for Christmas when we had somebody going around looking at snowmen, building a snowman because she's about to die in January. Come to me and complain about dark storylines. I am so bored of hearing people complain that Coronation Street has got too dark.
Fine, okay.
It's a soap.
I thought that The Fall was...
It's not a sitcom.
The Fall, though dramatic, I think they should have made it look a little bit less miraculous that he survived. And they did a good job with Todd's departure. That's my conclusion on that story for this week.
I would have liked to have had an explanation of what saved Billy's life.
Yeah.
Something like one of the rescue people going, oh my God, I can't believe he survived. And then like a veteran, like a grizzled old like ambulance guy going, oh, sometimes it happens, not very often, but it must be a Christmas miracle. Or something like that. Cheesy and crap that wasn't just like, well, I guess sometimes you fall off a cliff and you just don't die.
It's just the fact that we know that miraculous cures happen in Coronation Street so long, and they're not very good at keeping up illnesses or conditions, and he'll just be skipping around like normal in 6 months' time, I imagine.
Well, you don't know.
I don't know if that is my prediction. Right, Carla's comeback then, Gemma. Do you want to do the summary of this one and the Alia and Aidan stuff?
Okay, so Carla arrived back in the show.
On Christmas Day?
No.
No, you should arrive last week.
When Aidan went to go and see her and said, give me money, I want you to come and help me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no. Factory. And she said, no, crap, I'm not bothered. Then, actually, we didn't look back to see whether she was drinking alcohol when she met him, because they met up in a pub. That would be quite an interesting thing to look at.
She probably wasn't.
She probably wasn't.
That could have been the first clue.
Yeah. So she shows up on the street on Monday, Christmas Day, and invites herself to the Connor Christmas meal at the bistro, because in the grand tradition of Connors, none of them can cook.
Can't cook for Christmas, can't cook for New Year's Eve.
Nothing. Forget it. Jenny is not impressed with her being the centre of attention because she was not prepared for this.
Mm.
Aidan is also...
She thought she was going to be Queen Bee at Christmas.
Yeah. Well, she's the matriarch, isn't she? And then along comes Carla.
Yeah.
Aidan's in a bad mood because he thinks that she's not there to help him, and so what's the point of her?
Mm.
He plonks a business plan in front of the table in front of Johnny and says, look, here's what you could have won. This is what my plan would have been.
And it's literally awesome.
Genius. Edible knickers, because you can keep selling them every day. They need a new pair of knickers. Think about it. Disposable/edible knickers, because not only will it solve the problem of you can only sell a certain number of pants to people in a year, but you can also send them to the needy when you're done with them, if you don't want to eat them yourself.
Yeah, if you're a bit full.
Oh, I can't eat another pair of knickers. Send them off to the needy. And the destitute.
And the pervs.
Yeah, they love them. Oh my God. Okay, anyway. Stop the podcast. We've got to write this up. Okay, so in the Rovers later, Johnny explains that Aidan's edible knickers is actually a really good idea. Edible knickers,
you're going to confuse these people that haven't watched it.
And we could save the factory. And Carla says, well, if edible knickers are such a brilliant idea, why didn't you invest in them?
Hmm.
Good question. Kate comes along to bring Aidan back to the pub because she's really excited about this edible knicker thing. Her and Rana are going to have a brilliant time in the
year. Oh, yeah, they'll be munching each other's knickers, aren't they?
She brings Aidan back to the pub, where he finds out, via a cracker joke, which is the best way to deliver business news. This is why I'm excited for the new series of The Apprentice. Carly's going to invest as long as he makes a truce with Johnny. He's very pleased about this, but then there's a montage where Eva's snogging Adam.
Yeah. Because he still thinks that he's going to get back with Eva, but
no,
the boat has sailed.
I hope that doesn't happen. Although, if she finds out about his edible niggas. throughout the episode, Carla is very obviously not drinking and giving all these excuses like, oh, I've got to drive back. Oh, I don't fancy it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jenny gives her a suspicious look, looks down at her stomach on Christmas Day episode, doesn't she?
And this is when I started to think she's not pregnant. It's too obvious.
Yeah, everyone was saying by Tuesday, oh, maybe she's pregnant, maybe she's pregnant. And it is definitely a red herring, wasn't it?
Well, I'm mad about this because it was revealed today what is actually what is actually up with her.
Mm. Well, and I
was no
it.
Listen, and oh, I was gonna say it.
You're gonna make
I was
an awesome make prediction. Prediction,
and everyone's gonna be like, "Wow, what a genius!" But no, it sounds like I just watched it and went, "I knew that all the time." But I managed to get a tweet out about 5 minutes before they revealed it in the show, just to ruin it for everybody who was watching along at home.
Tuesday, Carla's staying for a few days. She's decided she has a little awkward meeting with Peter outside the cafe. Now, Roy is informed that Carla's back on the street. Now, he's still off doing his Christmas gallivanting up a mountain camping somewhere. So he cuts his trip short to go and see her. He's heading back to Weatherfield throughout the episode. So Carla also finds out about Kate and Rana's affair on Tuesday. Not much more goes into that.
Because they're like, what,
knickers? Carla also tells Aidan she's paid for a month's rent for him. She's throwing her money about on Tuesday.
It's almost like she thinks she's not going to need
exactly.
it anymore.
She's being very benevolent.
Generous.
She also tries to talk to Kate about edible knickers, about her and Rana thing.
Write in if you think it's a good idea.
It's an amazing idea.
Not out of rice paper, they'll melt.
He finished.
Michelle and Maria wonder whether Carla is pregnant because she's drinking orange juice. Aidan tells Alia that he has agreed to a meeting with the Parkers tomorrow without her. Sorry about that. And then Luke moans to Aidan about it later. And this is what I was saying to you about. Do you think that Aidan knew what they were like?
Maybe.
He was trying to shield Alia from it. I don't know. Carla goes to see Kate at the flat and asks her about Rana. And then Kate tells her about Michelle robbing the bistro. And then Carla goes to ask Michelle about the robbery, and then Michelle says, are you pregnant?
Oh, well, yeah, Michelle's saying, are you pregnant? And then Carla says, well, I've got a, never mind about that. What about this robbery that you got up to then, eh?
All these scenes remind me of like when you play a murder mystery game at home and you get all these clues and you've got to go around awkwardly asking other people at the party whether they were, what if you know something about so-and-so.
A lot of Tuesday's episode for Carla were just her going back and forth and finding things and then going telling people things. And
it's like Miss Marple.
Yeah, but then it all comes to a head with Roy arriving back at the end of the episode, gets a nice hug from Carla. And then we also find out that he is in on this secret. He knows about her reasons for not drinking.
And he says it is just between the two of them.
Yes.
Now, this is when I honestly thought that she was taking medication because she had depression, which is not as exciting as kidney failure.
You're giving it away.
I mean,
whatever it is, medical condition that is later revealed.
Sorry, everybody.
So she's blanking Roy on Wednesday for some reason.
No, well,
she just doesn't want to talk about it, does she? She's in denial about this problem that she's got.
She wanted to tell Roy because she didn't want an emotional, snivelling person whinging on about how sad it is.
Mm.
And so when Roy talks to her, she kind of like thinks, is he just waving at me because he knows I've got Lurgy.
Kidney Lurgy.
Mm.
She also gets talking to Daniel, who's got his job back in the bistro, and Robert catches her asking about the... No, she doesn't. She discovers, and there seemed to be a bit of chemistry between them as well. And Robert catches her asking him about the bistro and money troubles. He's not happy about this. And then Carla says, look, if you've got money troubles, have a load of cash. I'm giving all my cash to everybody this week.
Do you have any spare kidneys? Don't worry about that. Just take this money.
But he doesn't. And he
gets mad at Michelle.
Gets mad at Michelle for broadcasting everybody. The money worries.
Now we have a racism storyline.
That came out of nowhere. Not sexism, which is what we were expecting.
It was a fake out.
Yeah, another
Parker's
fake out
turn
this
up,
week.
And they're all like, oh, look at this assistant. How rubbish, you're just a woman. And then Aidan goes, I think they're being horrible to you because you've got boobs. And she says, I know, I can tell. And then he goes off, and then one of them starts saying stupid things like, you lot don't have a sense of humour. And because she's not drinking alcohol, he's like, when you come over here, you should act like us. And then he says, lighten up, I always suppose you were born with your face that colour. And then he says, what are your knicker designs? Bikinis? Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, so it turns out he is a massive racist. And Alia was disgusted by this, but not so disgusted that she... You know...
I kind of wish he'd said, I thought you lot were going to get out because of Brexit.
That
would have been a total S-storm.
So, yeah, she doesn't...
She doesn't go back
on the contract.
She's upset. She feels sick. It must be horrible.
Mm.
I can't imagine. I would feel sick as well.
But they still go through the deal Aiden because says, they need the money.
Let's forget about it. These two people are jerks. We don't need their cash. And she says, yes, we do. Not just for me and you, but for everyone in the factory.
All the factory girls too, yeah.
Who will make these edible knickers, if not us?
Back to Carla on Friday. She invites Roy to the family New Year's do, because as we said earlier, today was New Year's Eve in Weatherfield. He shows up, but he's upset when he sees that she's got this glass in her hand.
He thinks that
she's been drinking. It turns out it's just lemonade, but he doesn't know this and he storms out. So she follows him back to the Rovers and they have this massive long scene where they talk about these issues that she could be having without actually spelling out what it is, until after the break it is revealed that she has kidney problems, possibly caused by too much drinking.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't think that it is.
Isn't it? Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's liver, isn't it? I don't know. But anyway,
Liver's the one that can crawl away by itself.
That's right, yes. She needs a donor, but she does seem to be in complete denial about it. She says
possible kidney failure.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need dialysis. She's like, I don't need dialysis at the moment.
She just wants to carry on living like normal, doesn't she? She thinks she's acting normal in front of everybody else and getting peeved off when people are asking her about if she's pregnant. She does say to Michelle later on, look, I'm not pregnant, I'm just on a diet, I'm trying to cut back. So
she just says it's making me fat, and I completely agree with that because I have got really fat this year.
I thought you were going to say I agree with that because Alison King,
I was like, what a chubber. How'd they let her on the TV? God, is it in widescreen mode?
she has a bit of a cry over the New Year's bongs, doesn't she? She goes outside and gets another hug from Roy, who's going to support her through this. And then he goes home,
bless him.
Does a bit of voggling, doesn't he, about how to donate a kidney himself.
That's so adorable. Nobody wants your own kidney, Roy, but thank you very much.
Very, very sweet. Because they also talked a bit about Hayley as well. He's saying...
They could have put those on ice, couldn't they?
Hayley's kidneys, yeah. Yeah, he's saying, like, I've been through this and I've seen my wife...
You're not going to die.
You don't need to go through this, but you... Drinking lemonade isn't the answer. You've actually got to do something and sort this problem out. So, what's your initial reaction to Carla having kidney failure then? Is this a good comeback story after a week of her not kind of being that exciting? It's been a very, very low-key comeback until it stepped up a gear today.
It kind of makes it understandable why she's been a bit low-key.
Mm.
And obviously, when Aiden met up with her, she was obviously like, just leave me alone and let me die. I'm not...
Well, yeah, it kind of explains in some way why she's not interested in going back to the factory.
There's no future in it for her, I don't think, she thinks.
I think she could think that she's going to die, and this is why she's giving her money away. I'm not a massive fan of the fact that they're having another illness story. Because we've had Rita's brain tumour, we've had Robert's cancer,
let's just talk about why this is. It's not that we don't think people have things wrong with them, because that's obviously not true. It's just that every single thing that's happened recently has been, oh, it's going to kill me.
Mm.
It's like, oh, this is so serious, you're going to die of it.
And then it turns out, actually, it's very manageable.
So does that mean then that we're going to be annoyed
Johnny's MS.
that Carla doesn't die?
Well, I don't know whether she is. I mean, this could be bringing her back to kill her off. I don't know how long Ali has got the contract for. But I imagine, like we were saying with Billy and how he's going to be up and walking about before long, I think that Carla's probably going to be fine from this as well. I mean, it might give her a bit of a new perspective on life, but I think she's going to get this donation. I've got a feeling it's not going to be Roy that gives it to her. I think he's going to find out that he's not compatible, and my prediction
no,
for
I
this
think
it'd
be is silly if he was compatible.
I think that it's going to be Johnny that has to give the kidney
That's
to her.
Silly.
Well, no, because I think
I don't think you can give it to somebody. Donate organs if you've got a disease.
I don't know.
Illness, condition, or whatever.
Or maybe it's going to be Genevieve, but I think that whatever it is, Carla's condition is what's
going to
stop
Johnny
and Jenny from going to Spain.
I think it's fairly clear that no matter who it is, the person who donates a kidney to her is going to be on the street.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be an anonymous donor.
This is going to be another issue storyline that we have Alison King going on the circuit and talking about
how important it is to have a donor card.
And then everybody goes and checks, and then there'll be a story in the Daily Mail in about 6 months' time saying, Coronation Street saved my life. Mum gets another 10 years with her kids because viewer watched traumatic scenes on Coronation Street, was inspired to sign up. That's great.
I wonder if... Well, I suppose even if it's like Aidan or Kate, that could still be enough to keep Johnny from moving to Spain.
Of course. What happened to Tracy?
She's only got one kidney.
She cannot give
Carla her kidney. Although they can be...
She could give her a kidney, but she would die.
Her and Carla could be like single kidney buddies. And that could be what bonds them together.
So
it's quite ironic. Do you remember when they were in the middle of their feud a couple of years ago and Carla took Tracy's medicine away from her for a little bit when they were at that hotel? Yeah. How the wheels have turned since then.
How the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
How the turntables.
I don't particularly mind. I'm just glad that Carla, they have got a story in mind from her because I was a little bit concerned that they didn't seem to know what to do with her and they were just bringing her back as a... Oh, people aren't really happy with Coronation Street at the moment. Let's bring Carla back and then everybody will love it again. And I'm also incredibly glad that Roy's being involved because it's not been long since we were saying Roy's had literally nothing to do since the engagement to Kathy storyline. And I was reminded again today how good Roy can be when he's not just there as, you know, the straight man in the Roy and Brian buffoonery scenes.
Yeah.
He's actually can do a cracking job. He's such a good friend to Carla. David Nilsson like can really kind of grab your attention. He was great. And I hope that we're going to see a lot more of him in this story. I've got a feeling that Jenny's not going to come off very well from it again. She's going to be mad at Carla for, you know, taking up Johnny's time for preventing them going to Spain. I can imagine there's going to be some, you know, some spats between them, and then maybe Carla will kind of reveal to Jenny or something. She'll say, "Oh yeah, well, I've only got months to live," or something. I don't know. What else? Anything else for the story this week? Do you think there could be any implications for Carla knowing about this, the Rana thing and the bistro story?
I don't know. I think it's just like, should we just catch her up so that we're not like talking about when's Carla going to discover blah, 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 blah. I think it's just like, just get it out of the way because having someone else not knowing about this.
But there's still not many people that know about Rana. The only people that know are, who knows, Michelle...
I think it's perfectly natural.
Does Michelle tell Robert? I don't know.
That Michelle would spill the beans about everything that's gone on because she hasn't really had anyone to talk to about a lot of this apart from Robert. And Robert's difficult to talk to because of all of his problems.
Mm.
She doesn't know that anything's wrong with Carla, so of course she's going to come and go, "Oh my God, guess what happened to me?"
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we had people. I mean, she mentioned the business being going badly to Daniel, and Daniel also then overheard Michelle and Robert talking about it, so I mean that kind of like justified why Carla knew about it.
Yeah.
Also, Carla did spend a lot of her time handing out money, and then she said to Roy later on, "Oh, I don't want anyone to find out because it's going to seem like I'm trying to buy a kidney by giving everyone all this money."
Mm. Yeah. Okay, what about the racism stuff? How did you define that? Because I thought it was a little bit... It could have been a little bit more subtle.
Right, we had this conversation when it happened, didn't we?
Mm.
And we were saying, like, overt racism, like this kind of stuff, is terrible. And it happens. It doesn't... Like, anyone who thinks it doesn't happen is living in a dream world. But the thing about it is that it's certainly easier to deal with because it's illegal, and if you want to make a big deal about it, you probably could, right?
Mm.
I don't have to deal with this because I'm white, so I've never really had anybody say this to me before.
Yeah.
But the thing about the show is that, like, I mean, in real life, insidious, subtle racism is like one of the main problems. People that don't realise that they're racist, people that are prejudiced without thinking about it. That's like, because everybody knows that saying to somebody, oh, you're brown, like that's an insult, is an awful thing. We don't need to tackle that. We need to tackle the like subtle, insidious, disgusting racism that leaks into everything and causes all this imbalance. And but the thing about the show, they don't have time for that, so they've got to tackle it head on.
But I think they could have made time. I think it just would have been better if, like, we'd have seen Alia go to the Parker business or whatever, and it turns out that there were lots of other women that were that he was working with and being completely civil to, and then that would have been that would have made us think, oh, so he's not sexist, there must be something else, and then we could, oh, maybe it's racism or something like this. It just is a little bit, you know, hit over the head with, look, he's racist.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit too, like, I don't, obviously, I know this happens, but I just don't believe it would happen in a business meeting like this.
In with public.
Such a relentlessly aggressive manner to somebody that is at least on an equal footing to you and you both need each other.
Mm.
I mean, that would be my criticism. And I'd rather have a racism storyline for once in Coronation Street that didn't make you go, oh, would it really happen like that?
I think it wasn't as bad as Play the White Man, because when we were watching that, when was it, 3-4 years ago, and Lloyd, no, he overhears Paul the Fireman saying Play the White Man, as, and that was clunky, because that was like an insult that nobody had ever heard of. And we were like, what did he just say?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're two white people here sitting and talking about a racism storyline.
And it is an important issue. And we've
never experienced racism.
No, and I read that Saya said that she was the one that put the story idea forward. So yeah, it's obviously something that's very important to her and close to her heart. And I don't want to belittle it, but I just think it could have been done in...
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe she's had an experience like this.
Maybe she has.
I mean... Okay, here's something else to think about. Before this Harvey Weinstein, or what is it? Stein stuff came out, men did not know that women had to put up with this stuff, and that it was so bloody obvious, and just everybody knew about it. It was an open secret.
And women are having to keep quiet about it.
Between pervy women and pervy men and women who had been subjected to it. And I've put up with things like that before. You were shocked when I told you that. You couldn't believe it. So maybe this is the same thing.
Maybe.
Us being educated about what people of colour actually go through.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want to sound dismissive of it. I just, when it happened, I thought...
I think if she pitched it, she was involved in it. So she must have gone, this... Yeah.
This is how it is.
Maybe it is.
Mm.
And that's...
Do you think that she, the character, made the right move in going through with the deal anyway?
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people are criticising her and saying that, you know, she should stand up and it would be great if we saw her standing up. But I think that's part of the message of the
story. She's saying you can say what you like.
She's not saying say what you like. She's saying, it's not that. She's saying, this is a fact of my life, Aidan. This happens to me. I'm not surprised by this, and I'm not going to make a fuss about it because it's happened now. This is what we were saying about all the Hollywood sex scandal stuff.
Mm.
Why didn't you say anything sooner? Blah, 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 blah. Because it's a fact of life.
Yeah.
You can't, every time somebody propositions you, you can't just say, hold up, everybody, wait a minute. And even the people that did complain about it and went to the police got laughed out of the thing. I mean, what would you think if she went off and said, oh, I'm going to tell Craig, he's a policeman. What would really happen?
I don't know.
I'm going round in circles, and I'm disagreeing with what I said earlier. I don't even know.
I think that they're going to probably
throw me for a loop.
I think they're going to get their just desserts. I've got a feeling that they're not going to end up getting. They just want to get their hands on Alia's designs, don't they? Basically.
Yeah. Hands on her knickers.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. Has things been signed? I can't even remember, but I've got a feeling that something's going to happen, and probably involving Carla, and that they won't actually need the Parkers anymore.
And if you're going to have a story with a cartoon villain that is so evil and unredeemable, then great, make it a racist. Because there's too many people these days who think that it's okay to be racist.
Mm.
And it's not.
It is not. Right.
That's the thought of the day from me.
It is not okay.
It's not racist. Okay. In fact, I would go so far as to say I pretty disapprove
bad.
Of it.
Pretty bad. Tracy and Steve. Everything else that happened this week was
and also
fairly...
like we said, just to go back to it, there haven't been very many stories about this, and they have got enough characters who would have experienced it to go through
make
it.
Make it worth.
And also, I'm kind of interested to see what Luke is going to say about this.
Well, didn't we have? I'm sure that we got Luke's reaction.
No,
in the
I know.
Rovers later, but
no.
I thought that he was that Aidan told Luke, and Luke was like, "I can't believe you didn't do anything."
I know, but this, yeah, but that, you, the, what else is he going to do about it? Mm. I find that very interesting. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we've got enough characters on the street now who are not white that can now have discussions with each other. It's not like, oh yeah, we've got one character.
Well, let's see it made a bit bigger then, and not just be kind of shoehorned in, which it was a little bit this week, wasn't it? There was just a couple of scenes.
But like
something
I said,
that maybe should be a bit bigger.
I guess I am okay with it not being subtle and insidious, because I don't feel like we should give people who are like this a break and be like, oh, well, maybe I can understand why he said that. No, you shouldn't say things.
Makes
like
me wonder
that
what
people.
Like, because I'm sure there were some viewers feel the same way as that Parker bloke, and what do they think when they see do they recognise themselves
that.
In these characters?
Know.
Or are they sort of going along to him, yeah, you got the right thing, you're saying the right thing, mate. Yeah, you tell
know.
Her.
I
wonder,
know.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's nasty to think about. Right, Tracy and Steve. Everything else that happened this week was very minor, including this one. But there was some comedy scenes this week between the two new lovebirds. Daniel clocks Tracy sneaking Steve out of the front door, and they're trying to keep it hidden for a little bit. But it turns out that Amy finds out she heard them as well, and she sends a message to. Did she send it via Tracy's phone to Steve to say that the date was rubbish, and Steve thinks that Tracy has said it's rubbish, but it's really just Amy trying to put a wall between her parents, who she does not want to get back together. This happens again on Tuesday when Tracy and Amy are supposed to be going ice skating together, but Amy lets the dog out. It turns out that Eccles has gone missing, and so the three of them all have to go searching for her. But it turns out that Amy. But she put him in the Rover's cellar all along or something. But it didn't really work to keep Tracy and Steve apart because they had a bit of Ginnell snogging on the search. Amy just tells them that she thinks it's ridiculous, and Leanne agrees. There's a couple of dates on Wednesday and Thursday, both at the bistro. Tracy is basically just annoyed that Steve is ogling Michelle instead of paying attention to her. And even though she was fed up with that on Wednesday, they still agreed to go back the next day. Maybe to give him a second chance, I don't know. But again, Steve's told off for looking at Michelle. He says he's worried about her because it doesn't look like things are going well between her and Robert. But Daniel assures Tracy that Michelle and Robert are absolutely fine. But he does later tell Steve that they have got some money worries. So that was a bit quick summary of that story. I haven't got much to say about that at the moment because there wasn't that many developments, really. I'm a little surprised that Amy doesn't want Steve and Tracy back together. I'm sure that in the past she has wanted them to be a family unit. I don't know, but I suppose teenagers change their mind, don't they? What do you think about them two together?
Good.
Any changes? I can't remember what we even said last week, but I'm still perfectly willing for them to give her the chance, to be honest. I don't know whether it's going to be for the long term, but already they've outlasted Steve and Leanne from earlier this year, so let's give it a go. It's like what we were saying with Toya earlier when you said if she wasn't going out with Peter, who would she go out with? And Steve's just been kind of meandering along, not really doing anything this year since splitting up with Michelle, hasn't he? So I'm almost pleased that he's got together with Tracy just to give him something to do again. I was also wondering as well whether Steve could potentially invest in the bistro if he knows that they're going through money worries. I quite like the idea of Steve in charge of the bistro, definitely more than Robert. Would you like to see that?
Yeah.
You're not saying very much about this.
No, I'm just cringing over the racism thing. I just feel really, really like I don't know what I'm talking about and I shouldn't talk about it.
No, I think you did a better job than me. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to upset people and I might have said something
ignorant.
No, you
didn't. No, you didn't. It was fine. I think you're fine. anyway, that was that story. Not much going on
I
there.
I do like Tracy and...
Did you like Tracy's together? Sparkly top today?
Yes.
I hope they can win Amy round anyway, but who knows. Now, ridiculous story of the week, Brian and Kathy. So, if you remember last week, Brian put a Christmas curse on Asher. So he tries to make amends on Monday by sneaking in through this the back door thing, and leaving presents under the tree.
If there was anything in Monday, in the Christmas Day episode, that I felt that was a rewrite and shoehorned in at the last minute, it was nothing to do with the Todd disappearance. It was this.
It's like, we've got three scenes spare. What can we do? Total... Let's just make Brian do some comedy Christmas japes. But I've got a feeling that it wasn't. I think it probably was planned in all along. But
the thing about it is that there's no particular reason why this should have been as bad as it was.
No, I think it's just Brian, isn't it?
No, but we like Brian. Really want to like Brian. But
really want to like
there's
Brian.
There's something amiss about the way that these are being written, and I don't know.
And it was the same with Gina as well, because Gina phones up the police because he's let himself in through the back door and also clumsily broken the door or something on the way in.
So they come down the stairs and he's there rummaging through the Christmas tree and they think he's a burglar. They phone the police and the police come and arrest them, and Gina is just full of rage at the fact that he's done this and wants him to be prosecuted, which is completely out of character for her.
Yeah, because I don't know where that came from.
She's a bit of a sweetheart, isn't she? And I can imagine actually it makes more sense to me that Gina would have been like, oh, bless him, he's just trying to make up. And Dev would have been like, no, Brian, how dare you?
Yeah, because Dev was livid at Brian last week, wasn't he, for what he did to Asher.
I don't get why it was Gina that was driving this. It was, and it should have been Dev, because Dev is the sort of buffoonish kind of idiot who wouldn't really get that that's wrong. And he's also very protective of his children. And he would have been like, oh, you can't come into my house, my kids are asleep upstairs, blah, 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 blah. And whereas it was Gina, and it's not even Gina's house, and it's not even Gina's kids. So what's she moaning about? I'd let people walk into other people's houses.
I did have
the
same
time.
Kind of feelings as you. I didn't like that from Gina. Anyway, the police come along and arrest Brian.
It kind of made
Brian.
Her into a cow, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Brian gets bundled into a police car, Kathy then spends half the episode begging to Dev to speak to the police and let him go, because it was just a misunderstanding, but Dev's like, oh, it's on my hands now. So anyway, at the end of the episode, Brian is being let out, but there's some drunk guy there who starts dissing Kathy and saying that she's worse looking than a manhole cover or something like
that. This annoyed
like
this. Me as well, because I felt like there are loads of things you could have said as an insult that make a lot more sense than manhole cover. It's like the writers were like, oh, don't want to insult the actress who plays Kathy by being horrible about what she looks like.
Let's make something really ridiculous.
Let's say she looks like a manhole cover.
It was awful. And then Brian punches him in the face. So he gets bundled back into the prison again.
And then the last we see of him during the Christmas montage is him scarfing pasta.
I did quite like that, actually. I thought that was quite
that
funny.
That was kind of fine. That was okay.
Well, because he was just kind of happily, like you said, scoffing himself. And that was
going,
quite in character
pasta.
For him.
And also, that pasta looked really nice.
Oh, yeah, it was nice, yeah. But yeah, the whole thing with this was he was defending his woman, wasn't he?
Which from being called a man. I mean, honestly, if somebody said to me, oh, you look like a manhole cover, I would just find that hilarious. Mm.
I was kind of, as Kathy was being taunted, I was waiting for him to punch the guy.
Yeah, well, because Kathy was just standing there and doing her normal thing of like, oh, touch my chest, I touch my cheek, I touch my mouth, I touch my chest. Like, I would have expected Kathy to have been like, oh, sling your hook.
Yeah.
I know she's timid sometimes, but I just think that somebody shouting that I'm a manhole cover wouldn't have fazed me if I was at a prison. I mean, a police officer thing, taking my boyfriend home for Christmas.
You just want to get home, wouldn't you?
I'd be like, shut your bloody mouth! What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it just goes to show what a wonderful shining white knight Brian is. Because he ends up getting let out by Wednesday, doesn't he? And has another Christmas dinner with Roy, although that never really goes anywhere.
Well, no, because Roy has to make him a Christmas lunch, but he doesn't agree with it, but he does anyway.
That was a pointless scene, because we didn't even get to see it. But then Friday, Brian organises a nice New Year meal in the bistro, and it looks like he's going to propose to Kathy, but it turns out that he's actually just going to invite her and Alex to come and live with him in the number 12.
That's nice.
I thought that was quite a funny twist on Friday.
But it was another case of, I'm going to make you obviously think one thing, but actually it's something else. At the moment, there are so many, I've got an idea for a story, but I'm going to write it twice.
Yeah.
I only need to think of one thing then.
It was Christmas filler. That's all there is to say about that one, to be honest.
A manhole cover to say.
As was the David stuff, because it's his birthday on Christmas Day, and he gets his knickers in a twist about the fact that Shona hasn't given him a Edible birthday knickers. Present, which we see her shoving into the bin at the beginning of the episode. What else? Gail's got her headphones. Gary tries to speak with Sarah about getting back together with her, but she's not interested. And then they have this miserable Christmas lunch, which is topped off by the fact that the dog has eaten the birthday cake. Then they have a nice romantic end to the episode where Shona gets David up on the top of the factory and gives him this umbrella that you can tell it's got the constellations printed on the underside of it, because it harks amazing, back to their that? Missed date when they didn't get to go to the Peak District to look at the stars. And they have nice kisses during the Christmas montage. So this was fluff as well, wasn't it? It was just a bit of drama and a nice bit of romance at the end. And I did like it at the end. And it did kind of take you away from the relentless, you know, drama and of the Barlow storyline. But not much to say about this one either. Nice to see they're still ticking along. Thought that Gail's headphones thing was a bit ridiculous.
I thought it was stupid until she said, so basically what happened was the kids gave her a pair of noise cancelling headphones so she could listen to her music, and so she spent the whole time with them on singing to herself, and then she reveals that she wasn't listening to music at all. She was just doing it to wind people up because she was annoyed that
I thought that was a funny twist.
I like that twist, because it was like Gail was basically acting like a fool the whole time, but then she at the end of it she's like, no, I'm not stupid, I am just trying to annoy people.
I would have liked it better if Gail wasn't always being made to look like a fool.
Yeah, I did feel that was a bit like, oh, I'm not an idiot. Like, well, Gail, all evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, this was your excuse today, Gail, that you were just having people on. But yeah, I mean,
the rest of the time,
it just was more comedy Gail or idiot Gail. We really need to see a storyline for her in 2018 that shows that she's got a brain between her ears, to be honest.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
The other plat, Bethany, gets involved in a story with Craig on Tuesday, I think it was. His boss at the station comes around with a police application form for him because they haven't got onto the online world of applications yet or in Weatherfield Police Force.
You can't put it on the internet because criminals use the internet, and then you get criminals being police officers.
Okay,
and look
just
what I'm
computerized
with
then. And he's also got headphones for Christmas, hasn't he, from Bethany? And so they have a little kiss, and he puts his hand on her leg, which she immediately jumps up from because she's obviously not ready for physical contact yet. But she says, look, I don't just want to be friends, I don't want to be your girlfriend, but it's going to take some time, and he's perfectly happy with that.
Do you think that they are really going to end up as a couple? Because I'm still thinking no. I think
he does seem to be a bit of a, I just need to any nice guy after everything that's happened, and Craig, you're nice, but I'm not convinced she's really that attracted to him or in love with him.
I feel like Craig is the one that will teach her to love again.
Yeah.
And then he will set her free like a dove.
Yeah.
But not one of those Olympic doves that flies into the flames and dies.
No.
Like one of the ones that lives forever.
Yes, exactly. I think
those immortal Olympic doves.
I don't think that they're a great couple.
I don't like them together.
I mean, and in a way it's nice, it's a bit like Ashley and Maxine, isn't it? It's like a how on earth did he get a bird like that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that she's gonna want a bit more of a man than he can offer. I don't know.
I hate crapping all over people's appearances, but I've said before about people being different levels of attractiveness.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I mean, he is like the complete gent of the street, and that's what she needs. It just depends on whether she remembers
going
out with him for a couple of months.
But I married you, and you are really ugly.
I know.
And see? I'm like a stone cold fox.
Beauty queen. Exactly.
So, I mean, it does happen sometimes, Craig.
Right, so that was it for our Christmas week on Corrie. I don't know what to, I haven't decided a score for it yet.
No, I mean, don't know what to give it.
It wasn't amazing, but it could have gone a lot worse with Bruno Langley completely disappearing. I thought that the fall was great drama, but I just left with a bit of a bad taste in my mouth about it because of how unrealistic it is that he's actually seems to have survived relatively unscathed.
Couldn't they have found a smaller cliff? This is the thing, right? As long as Billy looked dead when he fell, Peter would have gone, right?
Yeah.
And people can fall in a funny way and hit their head on a pavement and die. Mm. So if it had been a slightly smaller cliff and he had driven off, it would have been more believable that Billy lived at the end of it.
If you watch the making of thing that they put on social media afterwards, Coronation Street put on social media, I think the actual cliff was a lot smaller than it was made out to be on the programme. And all the green screen made it look like it was like mega deep. So maybe they should have just, yeah, kept it the original size, I don't know. I don't know whether I can give this more than 3.5 this week. 3.5 manhole covers out of 5.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, I'm going to give it 4 because it's Christmas.
Oh, 4.
4 constellation umbrellas.
Mm, very nice.
How about 4 knackered kidneys?
4 knackered kidneys out of 5,
because
yeah.
If you had 4 knackered kidneys, is that better or worse than having 2?
Than 1
is
or
it
2.
Four, is it twice ones, as yeah. bad?
I don't know.
Or is it twice as good?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I'm going to write
not
in.
A medical man.
I'm going
to
ask him.
I don't know who to give them a character of the week. I'd like kind of like to say Ken, but I don't know whether I'm just saying Ken because I thought him being, you know, the mafia
the
boss was
brilliant.
Quite funny. But I also like the fact that he was rallying the family together.
No, I like.
But
Ken,
then equally,
yeah,
I could say, do I want Roy to be the character of the week? Because I thought Roy was absolutely fantastic today, but it was only today. Equally, Carla, I thought she was great today, but not so much earlier in the week. So maybe I'm going to do Ken. I think Ken, character of the week.
No, I'm not giving Carla character of the week because I like Carla on top. I don't like snivelly Carla, sad Carla. And I mean, I know she's sad because her kidney's going to conk out. But like, I just don't like sick people.
Right, who are you giving as your character of the week then? You going for Ken as well?
Yes.
Okay. To double Ken it is. Right, well, we are not having a middle section.
Don Kenley only.
We're not having a middle section today because we have got the awards to look forward to later on in just a few days' time, I expect. But we will do a little bit of news and some feedback before we finish. So if you're all ready and sitting comfortably, let's move on to that. Okay, quick news this week. It's been Christmas week. Not much has happened. But Shane Ward has got engaged. So we'd like to start off by saying a big congratulations to him. He's got engaged to his girlfriend Sophie, and he announced it by showing a picture of her engagement ring on social media on Boxing Day. So they're all getting engaged at the moment, aren't they? It was Mike Novelle got engaged last week.
Do you think he took the box in Boxing Day too literally?
What?
Gave her a box with a ring
inside. Maybe. Congratulations to them. Also, Lucy Fallon is potentially engaged as well. There's a bit of a cover-up over that on social media at the moment. Now, she had her sister got married earlier this week, and then she posted on Twitter or somewhere or Instagram or whatever about her boyfriend, but referred to him as her husband-to-be. And so all of her followers started texting back saying, oh, are you engaged? Are you engaged? Because obviously this hasn't been announced yet. And then she edited the post to just say boyfriend. So I don't know whether they're engaged or not.
You have to be very literal with these
conspiracy
people
of the
on
week.
The internet. You can't play about.
Well, maybe she didn't want to overshadow Shane Ward's engagement by announcing her own. Or maybe it was just a mistake.
I think it was just a joke.
It could have been, couldn't it?
I don't
a bit
think
like
she's
when
very good at Twitter, and I think she gets
doesn't realise that people will take these things seriously.
She gets herself in trouble.
But also, while we're talking about Lucy Fallon, didn't she do well on the All Star Musicals programme? She won.
She did.
Came first.
She won it. She won the Evita competition for best Evita impression.
We didn't actually watch the programme, but we heard that she did a good job. So we watched her performance just before we started recording the podcast, actually, and she did completely smash her, didn't she? She was amazing.
Yes.
Jolly good singer. Who would have known that she had that inside of her?
I'm horribly jealous.
I know, she was awesome.
That's how you can tell if you're good, if I'm horribly jealous of you. I want to be able to sing.
You can sing all right, but I will concede that Lucy Fallon was a little bit better than you. She was probably miming, Gemma. Probably dubbed over, wasn't it? I also read online earlier this week that people are worried that she's going to get snapped up to be in musicals or, you know, whatever on the West End. So she's going to leave Corrie to see her name in lights there. But who knows? It's a bit early to say.
I think it's good to have under your hat, innit?
Well, it's good to have a backup plan, isn't it? It's good to have a backup plan because if she doesn't stay with Coronation Street forever, at least we know that she can, you know,
she can do a singing.
Go on the stage and do a singing and release an album and all that, and actually she might be quite good. But yeah, that was an awesome performance. If you haven't watched it yet and you like Lucy Fallon or you like Bethany or you like Evita, just go onto YouTube and search it in. 3 or 4 minutes long.
I think she might be a sea witch.
A sea witch? A siren, yeah.
I think she's stolen someone else's voice.
Maybe she
and
has.
And allowed them to walk on land. Voiceless. But she's actually a big octopus sea witch. Oh, is it Dirk? Witch.
He's voiceless.
Yeah, maybe Dirk used to be a merman. And he lived she under the ocean voice. With his crab friends. And then Lucy Fallon, the sea witch, convinced him to sign a contract. And he was singing into a little just like now I can sing Evita and win all star musicals.
Yeah,
which has been my dream since I was a small sea witch. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Only makes sense. Oh, by the way, talking about Dirk as well, if you want to see a picture of Adam doing a bit of
a gif,
or you can watch the video if you like of doing his DFS advert, then you can look on our Twitter, or you can go on YouTube and look for the DFS Rockstar advert.
And
you
we
can
know
see
the
Adam
secret
Bliss.
Behind that video, and we will never tell anyone that sofa wasn't actually there.
Right, that's it for news, really, isn't it?
I thought you said, but
oh yeah, no, there is another news. Oh yeah, they just sneak in before we started recording as well. What
you usually mock me when I say awards don't mean anything,
no.
And then you're trying to completely
well, you
move
do,
on from
you
this.
Do this one then.
Well, the only awards that matter after the Conversation Street Awards are the Digital Spy Readers Awards. But apparently they've all fallen over and hurt their heads this year because they only awarded one non-Emmerdale award in the whole thing.
Yeah, everything went to Emmerdale apart from one, which was Corrie.
There's like a big Twitter mafia Emmerdale posse going around beating everybody up who doesn't vote for Emmerdale.
I just think that Emmerdale has managed to capture an audience that are really engaged on social media. And
having never watched it, I feel completely qualified to say that they're wrong and that Coronation Street is better.
But Emmerdale's just been going, just been doing really, 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 really well for the last few years. And people are saying, yeah, oh, it's Kate Oates. But she's been gone away from that for a year now. And Emmerdale is still seeming to be going pretty strong. And Kate Oates has come onto here. And although there have definitely been some improvements, there have been also other people have been saying, oh, get Kate away from Coronation Street, she's ruining it. So I don't know.
And but she's a redhead slapper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, the one that Coronation Street...
Which has got something to do with it, probably.
The Coronation Street Award that was won in the Digital Spy Awards was Conor McIntyre. Pat Phelan won Best Villain, and quite right too, I would say. I hope he does very well in the Villainry Awards in the coming year, because I got a feeling that his comeuppance is nigh, and it's going to be his last chance.
Do you think we should do an Emmerdale podcast?
I don't know whether we'd probably get more listeners. Not that we're doing bad as we are at the moment, but I don't know. It's weird that Emmerdale is still kind of considered the third soap, isn't it?
That's what I mean. It's like
even though it's
kind of like the third wheel.
It's a but the
it's
underdog,
been
isn't it?
The most talked about and celebrated soap of, like you say, the last couple of years.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it might be because they probably feel a bit freer and to do experimental things like the Dementia Storyline and stuff. They feel like there's less pressure.
Yeah. And I don't know what's been going on in Emmerdale recently, but I know that, last year it was all about the Dementia Story and the you know, the car crash and all that stuff, and with, you know, Charlie Stubbs dying again, and they can't keep that's not going to keep them going for much longer. But I mean, there must be something that people are still liking.
One of the dongles will die.
Oh, there's a plenty of dingles in there, yeah. Right, anyway, that's enough. Well done, Connor. And keep it up. Feedback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was a good podcast. Oh, yes.
Other people's feedback.
Mm-hmm. Feedback time. And we had some discussion on the Facebook group about the Aaliyah racism thing. So I'd quite like to read out what people said, because I didn't read this. So Abby said, touchy subject, racism. How do you feel about the way it was handled Wednesday night? The brothers were sexist, racist jerks, that's a given. I like the way Aaliyah comported herself and remained professional and on topic in spite of the nasty comments. However, I'm not comfortable with the way she wanted to forget about it and work with them afterwards. Even if it meant jobs for her friends and none of them would face racism like her, they'd still have to deal with sexism at the workplace. Not sure that's worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm. We had loads of comments back on that, but I picked out a few. Rob said that it felt very forced. He says, I don't honestly believe that any self-respecting businessman, no matter what their beliefs are, would ever act like that in a business meeting. And Julie said, it was awful. If I was Aaliyah, I would have poured that beer over him. But Curry has highlighted it, because you still get pathetic morons like that, unfortunately, still out there.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a bit early days with this story, isn't it? But yeah. It looks like it's sparking debate, which is probably one of the things that they want.
Yeah.
We'll see it as the weeks go on. Right, back on to emails. I'll do this one. Morgan sent us a message earlier that said that this week's curry was drama, intrigue and scarves. I'm not quite sure how Bill Roach got into character for his role as Ken Corleone, but by heckers did he do a good job of it. Perhaps Eccles could turn into a cat like the one that Vito Corleone had. In theory, the whole Carla and Daniel romance is making tracks for itself and gathering speed, but how will Tracy react to having Carla in her life again? Nair, bugger off, go and cry on someone else's shoulder. What a load of old balls. Oh, blimey. Yes, we didn't particularly touch on this Carla-Daniel romance thing, but it does look like there was a bit of a spark between them, didn't there? We'll have to see how that one goes on. Billy's fall, in massive, great, bleeding sarcasm quotes, just stayed under the limit of Looney Tunes-esque, and I actually wish he died. Sounds bad, but I do. Give it a bit of gravitas. Character of the week is Ken, and it's 4 out of 5 comedy fools.
Okay. 4 out of 5. Sure.
Short and sweet.
Didn't like a lot of the things that happened.
No, I didn't like that. He also gave us a load of predictions, which I've cut that out for our show.
Deliberately not looked at any predictions, so I shall be a virgin predictor.
No, I haven't either. Good. I'm going to make my own predictions.
Did you cut and paste with your eyes closed?
Yes, I did.
Excellent work. Rebecca, she says, enjoyed the Billy storyline this week, especially
last week.
Enjoyed the Billy storyline last week, but she's this week, but she meant last week.
No, she meant this week. Anyway,
especially
carry on.
The Peter and Billy scenes. Both Chris and Daniel Brocklebank did a great job this week. I also like the confession scene with Peter and how they managed to write Todd out so quickly. I assume we won't see Summer for a while. I like the scene where Billy said he had a surprise for the school children, then revealed Adam and Eva. Yes, it was certainly a surprise. Loved Anna's slapping feeling. Like you, I guess she won't be charged for pushing Seb off, but will get punished for attacking Eileen going on the run. Speaking of Eileen, we now know how Sue Cleaver got those bruises that she was papped with, and everyone thought it was Pat that attacked her. Silly us. As for Pat's next victim, I'm guessing Luke or Gary.
They have both got to watch their backs, I think.
Nice to see Carla back, if only for a minute or two, and my theory that Aidan would bring her back to save the factory is kind of true.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Aaliyah is boring, I agree, like Izzy, she has nothing to do. Leanne was my second choice for character of the week. Loved Jane Danson this week and the rest of the sisterhood. I only twigged Chris Poole was a cad when he had two names, not the mother's name, maiden name, Fave Peck security questions game. Felt sorry for Leanne when she was swindled and liked how they brought up Toya's rape as well. I mean, Leanne's out $25,000 right before Christmas.
Seems fine about it now.
It's fine now.
Maybe she borrowed some off Janice when she went over there.
Maybe Carla will give her some.
Oh yeah, Carla's got loads of money to throw around.
Yeah. Rebecca says, nice to see family scenes with Fizz, Ty, Hope and Ruby before Jenny went into the jungle. And I agree the actress who plays Ruby is a little star. Shame we never found out he set the trampoline on fire, but maybe that might wait until Jenny returns.
This is the biggest mystery, isn't it?
I know. I had to laugh at Tracy calling Daniel a massive weirdo. though when she caught him recording her.
That's what should have been there breaking Billy's fall when he fell off the cliff. Maybe there was a massive...
A burning trampoline.
Or maybe it was a burnt-out trampoline there. Maybe Fizz and Tyrone dumped the burnt-out trampoline at the bottom of the cliff and had just enough spring in it to break his fall.
I think a flaming trampoline would have been better, and then he would have been bouncing up and Peter would have been watching him. He's like, ah!
On fire.
She says, glad Robert is now cancer-free. And finally, Steve and Tracy hook up Papandor, though. I did like the scenes at the church, with Tracy calling the music Harry Potter music. Character of the week is Billy, and I give it 4 children Christmas choirs out of 5.
Thank you, Rebecca. And T. Vore has written to us this week saying, regarding Peter turning into an alcoholic after Susan's death, I seem to have the impression, perhaps from the dialogue but not sure, that he drank before that, but Susan's death was the trigger after which his drinking escalated to where it really became a problem. It makes sense. I could see how that could happen. Todd's exit was clunky as expected. There didn't seem to be a clear motive for it other than Billy telling Peter about the accident. Did he tell Todd? I forget. Todd might have said that it would be all over if Billy did, but why drag Summer into it? Logically, I don't think he would have, but for the drama, I suppose that's why he did. Now we'll have to find out what they cook up to keep him away. I think Summer will be back, but I anticipate a battle with Granny over her custody. I think one Christmas that I particularly remember on Coronation Street is the one where Jack and Vera had the big dog, a Labrador, that ate the turkey and chased them up the stairs where they locked themselves in the loo. Every year, Blanche insulted Deirdre's cooking, and every year it seemed there's a revelation or crisis at the Platt House. New Year's always seems to be a bit forgettable overall, though what I do remember was when Deirdre went to Paris with a boyfriend, leaving Ken behind to keep an eye on Tracy, who gave him a mouthful of attitude and hate. He ended up at number one, looking at all his photos and memories with old dialogue playing of his family members, mostly all dead now. He contemplated taking a bottle of paracetamol, but next door, Bette Gilroy seemed to realise something was wrong, since she knew Deirdre was away, but heard a noise. She went over and they had a quiet word. Later, she waited in the pub, and she didn't really relax until Ken finally came in for a half, exchanging a thankful look with her over the bar. And as much as I don't like Ken, that was a good episode.
That sounds
See, that's how you do a suicide attempt at Christmas.
You just look at it.
Not just drama for the advert break. Anyway, T-Vore says, looking forward to the awards show, and she wishes us a happy 2018, as we do to all our listeners.
I hope it's uneventful, because events seem to cause drama, and drama's bad.
It is for some people. You don't fall off any cliffs in the new year. I like watching other people's
drama, but I don't like being involved in it.
We don't want any listeners to have horrible accidents or kidney diseases or anything over the new year. But
no, I don't want anyone to have kidney diseases. I think we should get rid of kidneys.
Right.
Seems to be very troublesome.
Shall we call this a day for the night?
Yeah.
And we have our dinner now, and hopefully we'll get this uploaded tomorrow, and then it'll just be a few days until the award show happens. Very exciting.
Award show and predictions
and summary of 2017. So look out for that in a couple of days' time. If you've got any comments that you want to say for that, do write in.
Sum up the events of the year for Coronation Street using the title of a movie. Make a pun on the title of a movie. Like, for example, if I were to describe 2017 for me personally, I would call it The Fattening. So, along those lines, come up with some funny puns or
whatever.
Whatever.
Right, if you want to get in touch with us, we're at conversationstreet@gmail.com. We're at conversationstreet.podbean.com. If you want to see our blog, there's not much there, but you can see it. You can leave a comment there if you like.
Look at it. It's really good.
You can send us a Skype message. You can tweet us. We're at conversationstreet. You can join our Facebook group, our Facebook page. We're there. And of course, why not give us a nice Christmas present with a 5-star review on iTunes?
That'd be lovely. Donate your kidney.
To Carla or to us? Should we just have it like on ice just in case we ever need one?
We might. I don't know. I'm paranoid now. Paranoid.
Your kidney's fine, don't worry. Right, Happy New Year, everyone. And we'll see you in 2018. Ta-ra. Or maybe before. Depends when the next episode is out. Depends whether we pull our fingers out and get it done quickly. Happen. Who knows? Right, ta-ra for now. Goodbye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.